This is Cherryhurst. I like to think of it as Cherryhurst Park, but it's really a subdivision. And it's over 100 years old. People think that Houston doesn't have neighborhoods, but this is a neighborhood, and it's been here for a very long time. And the houses are bungalows, and they're called arts and crafts houses, which means that no architect was involved in making them.
Cool.
So they're not very... They're all mishmash kind of things. You know, they're all different. And homemade kind of is what I'm trying to say. But we love this neighborhood. It's a very tight-knit community. We have a very active civic club. We're going to walk by the civic club house in just a minute. So, Cherryhurst has got new houses and some very old houses. The oldest place was built in 1925. 1929 is when the center part of the subdivision was given to the city of Houston, so it's a park, which is really wonderful because we have a lot of activities there, and it's owned by the city, and we had a new playground sort of modernized. We had some old stuff in there, but the city's put in a brand new playground for the kiddies. It's a neighborhood that has a wonderful... We have a lot of older people that have been here forever, their whole lives, and then we have a lot of young families. So it's really fun to have young kids and young parents around. I'm walking Maisie. She likes walking around here, but it's always a little dangerous because she's sniffing. The community borders on Westheimer, which is a main street in Houston, and in our particular part of Westheimer is very hot right now. It's got a lot of very, watch the glass, a lot of fine restaurants and new lounges and stuff, and so that it's a very busy part and not quiet like the rest of Cherryhurst. So we have a lot of activity. We have in the park many owls, and people say, oh, Houston, you know, they don't think of Houston as a place where there's a lot of trees and beautiful things. We have a lot of screech owls, and we see them all the time, and in the springtime in March when they're, you know, nesting and having babies, we get to visit with them. We also have a lot of herons. We're very close to water. In Houston, there's bodies of, you know, the bayou and there are bayous that go everywhere around Houston. So very often in the springtime, we have green herons and also the night heron, these are kind of smaller herons. But many times we'll be walking in the evening, and the herons will be sitting on the fence, on the tennis courts. And they eat frogs. We have a lot of frogs when it rains heavy. And so you can see herons spearing the frogs. Or having a heron with a frog dangling out of its mouth. I've gotten used to it by now, and it's okay. We have a lot of frogs. Oh, and the other thing is hawks. Again, Houston is in the Texas migration for birds heading to Mexico and south, coming from the north and Canada to get out of the cold weather. There's a huge number of wonderful birds between January and April that come through Houston. I mean, and the thing is, it's effortless to see these birds. You can sit on the park bench practically. And hawks especially, but all kinds of warblers and orioles. We have finches. But the hawks, because this is an open space, I've seen hawks, they dive a blue jay, pigeons, and squirrels. I've seen the hawk dive down, been right here in the park, where they dive And they you know, they grab and then they carry the carry the animal off. So there's a lot of other activity here as well as kids playing and stuff. But Houston, birding in Houston is a big deal. And also on the coast, High Island for the roseate spoonbill. And anybody who wants to do easy bird watching, come to Houston, Texas. Okay. We're walking to Woodrow Wilson Elementary School. That's the next stop on our walking tour today. And Woodrow Wilson is a Montessori school. And just a few blocks from Cherryhurst, and we are very involved with them. Our president, you know, has gone up to the school several times and talked with the teachers and asked them what they needed as far as their students and stuff and what we could do for them for after-school programs and summer programs. We've made donations to the school. And the one thing that happened in November in Houston is that our fine mayor, Anise Parker, we were able to pass a bond that for long-term, you know, major renovations to school buildings across Houston. And Woodrow Wilson is going to get about $18 million for renovations because it's an old school. One of the other things that just happened here is that last year Houston had a 150-year drought. And unfortunately, we lost a lot of our trees, particularly here at the school. And the school has taken this their own park and utilized the trees as much as they could, incorporating them into the playground area. And it's also one of those learning playground / learning areas for kids where they can, they're planting gardens. They have like a demonstration garden that the kids work in year round, because you can grow stuff in Houston all year round. And a lot of different, again, exercise areas and stuff like that. Let's see, what is the woodhole with? It looks totally naked without the trees.
Yeah, there were so many trees. Look at all those stumps.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that as far as the drought went in the trees, that people didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
Not ever having had a history of it before, people didn't know the seriousness of it. We would have been watering more, except we weren't able to water because there were water restrictions.
So,
just one thing again about the school is that this is a wonderful place to walk. There's sidewalks everywhere. There are other people walking. There are people walking their dogs. There's people jogging. The trees provide wonderful shade, and it's very safe. People ride bicycles. People with their kids in strollers. The other thing is we have the rollerbladers that come through here because the roads are really nice and smooth, and so we have our army of downtown rollerblader people that come. I'm sure this is going to be on the tour, but they come and droves. Let me get this. So, the man who bought the property, this property. Some of this property was owned by Obedience Smith, by the way. She was the daughter of, she inherited the money from, I mean, inherited the property from her father, who owned this huge area of Houston. Anyway, the developer has, this is the biggest lot, and it's a beautiful traditional Texas home with big a porch wrapped around two sides of it. And his daughter lived there her whole life, and recently, like in the last 5 years or so, she needed to go to a nursing home, and she sold her home. And we were so happy because the people who bought the home decided to keep it in its original state. So the outside is the same. They haven't changed any of the exterior, and interiorly, just some modernization. But the woman, it's an old family that has bought it. I don't want to give their name, but they, the daughter, her name is Dallas, and she is a botanist. She'd worked in San Antonio in the botanical gardens. And what she's done is she's created this garden with all Texas native plants. And again, Houston is presented a lot of times as being uninhabitable and semi-desert, semi, you know, nothing grows here. But anybody who could see this walking through her wonderful garden that you can see from the street, she has plants from Louisiana, gingers, viney orchard, orchids. She has lemon trees, orange trees, and all natives and all doing very, very well. And she just drove off, which is unfortunate because I wanted to show you guys my favorite part of her landscape, which is her chicken. She has a Rhode Island red rooster and a chicken whose name is Laura. And Laura comes when called. So she has her two chickens mostly in the backyard, but she brings them out occasionally on a Saturday for visitors, so. But anyway. Here about 21 years now, and I was kind of searching around, and I got original deed restrictions when the park first, I mean, when the subdivision was made. And a deed for my home, actually, that was signed by one of the original owners. And I was always impressed when I look at a historical document to read the language and hear what they said. And it said in there that if I had bought the house in 1920, that I was not allowed to sell it to a black person or a person of Jewish descent, and that I had to be a person of good moral character, that I wasn't allowed to drink alcohol in a public place. Now, some of these things, good moral character, of course, it's not a bad thing, but you can't obviously you can't make somebody do that. But I look at our neighborhood today, and we're in a diverse part of Houston. Montrose is known to be a gay community, a lot of people were attracted here, came here many years ago, because it was not this upscale as it is now. And so Montrose was known as a gay community. Just a half a mile away is River Oaks, which is old oil money, very expensive homes. If you go to the east a little bit, you have more low-rent Hispanic people, Central American, Mexican American people in low-income housing. And so this is a very diverse community now, and isn't that wonderful? Well, people of all color and race and orientation are welcome. So it's a Houston's in Texas, which isn't known for its diversity and its open-mindedness, but we've got a place right here that has that. How's that? Oh, the doghouse. I was reading in the paper about how a lady put a little flower garden in front of her home, and she was told by, this was in North Carolina, and so she was told by her civic organization that not everybody liked her flowers, which I found hard to believe, because who wouldn't like some simple flowers? And Carrie and I are looking at a dog bone house. It's painted in red and yellow in many colors. It has a green and red fire hydrant in the front of it and a huge dog bone over the front door. And this fellow is a friend of mine, Ray, and he has three bulldogs, mini cats, and his garden is a riot of color and statues and leftover pots and pans and all this kind of stuff. And again, it's this, you know, you have your regular bungalows and then you have Ray's house with the huge dog bone. So it's great to be in a place where people can have some expression of their own heart. How about that? We're walking on the other side of north of Fairview on Upon to see these old cobblestone streets. The name of the streets, let's see, it's Maryland, Indiana, and Michigan, I think. And they're cobbled brick. So I'm not sure if they were obviously very old, but I don't know what the history of them is. But I just want you to see them.
How long have you lived in the neighborhood?
I've lived here for 21 years, and the neighborhood's changed a lot. In some ways, it hasn't changed at all as far as how people feel about the neighborhood and stuff, but a lot of improvements have happened. The development of Westheimer and sort of regeneration of downtown Houston, and which has been great. The restaurants, it's a big area for restaurants and clubs and homes that have been restored. So it's a wonderful place to live. And it's a safe place. There's music. I'm surrounded by places to listen to music. Unfortunately, I'm older and I can't stay up late enough to hear most of it. But there's Rudyard's. There's the Big Easy, which is, of course, rhythm and blues and Louisiana, Cajun. Rudyard's is kind of the contemporary, new, young people music that I don't like that much. But it is a great place to have food and drink. So these are these old cobblestone streets that I just think they're made with brick from Houston, Texas, and it's just so cool. But there are three streets like this. Three streets that are parallel, so I'm not sure what the deal is.
Is that hard for new homes to get built in this area? I mean, we're walking past one being built right now.
No, just for codes and stuff?
Yeah.
No. Texas does not have... We're Texans. We don't believe in zoning. So, again, being from New York, I think zoning... Some laws for zoning are a good thing, but not... Houston, Texas doesn't have zoning laws. So, most of the time, you can take a building and turn it into an art studio or a restaurant, or tear it down and build up something new. obtaining historical status for a building is very, very difficult. And you know, hard to do.